The Feast of Tabernacles pictures the portion of God's great plan of salvation when Jesus Christ, now in his kingdom, as King of Kings, begins to reveal himself and his true ways of peace and harmony directly to the masses of humanity. The feast is also a time, as mentioned in Daniel 7, for the resurrected saints to receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom of God forever. It's a time when, according to Revelation 2, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power or authority over the nations. It's a time shown in Matthew chapter 16 when Christ will reward each according to their works. There will be productive work for all of us as spirit-born saints once God's kingdom is established. We might ask, what reward? What work will we be given to do as spirit children of God's family? I want to talk about that subject today. I want to focus on one reward, one example that Christ will give out after his return to this earth. At that time, God will delegate to his spirit children leadership over territory and cities. When this happens, the saints will have a new spirit mind and a new spirit body. Our reward will involve teaching and leading others in our assigned cities. This will be, I believe, fulfilling work and not something we should fear or hesitate to receive from Jesus Christ when the time comes. I want to encourage everyone here today to continue their faithful journey to God's kingdom, so to receive what God has in store individually for each one of us. I've entitled this message, Our Cities in the Kingdom. As we know, God's kingdom will bring perfect solutions to all the problems of mankind. Our spiritual hope is to receive life eternal and to participate where God places us in his kingdom. God is developing a spiritual place and position for each one of us. He will perfectly match us and place us where we need to be. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Christ is speaking here. Verse 2, John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, rooms, or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You and me, God is preparing. The Greek word for mansion here implies a place of permanence, of always being with God. God is preparing a future for you and me. Traditionally, the church has viewed these mansions as places with positions of spiritual responsibility. Christ is preparing that perfect mansion to give to each of us because He loves us dearly. And he has work for us to do. His kingdom is not a place to be on vacation all the time. We will have duties to do. God wants us to possess the kingdom and have authority over nations. And that might seem a little frightening. Yes, and indeed some may respond to that and say to themselves, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for that kind of responsibility. And you know, being physical, none of us probably are ready. In the flesh, I'm not sure we can ever get ready to take on what Christ has for us to do. But remember, we will be at that time given a new spiritual body and mind that will be full of knowledge and wisdom to do the job. Christ will not let us down. Our change to spirit will give us abilities that we don't have right now. So let's not think in terms of today, our present physical limitations and weaknesses in receiving God's kingdom at the return of Christ. We will be spirit then. And we'll have the right stuff and spiritual ability to do the job. God is anxiously waiting to give us our reward. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke 12, 32. Let me read it. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give us the kingdom is part, a major part of God's plan. Our called out physical life today is merely preparation time to demonstrate our faithfulness to God so we spend eternity with God forever. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I believe here Christ is referring mostly to the greater spiritual aspects of life. Life eternal. That will be much more abundant than living in the flesh as we do now. We can have an abundant physical life, but that will not compare with the abundance of life eternal. Let's now turn to the prime scripture that I want to focus on today. It reveals a literal reward that God will hand out to those who overcome this world and apply His Holy Spirit now. It's the parable from Jesus concerning the 10 minas in Luke chapter 19. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 19. I'll be reading several verses there. This parable gives us a small glimpse of our future spiritual life and work with Christ in His kingdom. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Now as the crowds, heard these things, He spoke another parable. Because He was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore He said, a certain nobleman representing Christ Himself went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Verse 13, so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, or units of money, and said to them, do business till I come. One reference work stated that a mina was approximately 3 or 4 months' wages. So it had considerable value. It was definitely worth something. The servants each received the same number of minas to do business with. As we continue on in this parable, we'll see that these minas really symbolize spiritual gifts and resources enabling the servants to do spiritual business. Enabling them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. The mind has provided opportunity for active use of God's Holy Spirit. So to improve each servant's spiritual growth. That's what this parable is telling us. The 10 servants picture you and me. We are the servants in this parable. In this physical life, we're doing business, doing Christian living by trading and transacting our spiritual minas, putting to use those minas. And this trading of minas represents hard work, making proper spiritual decisions, overcoming sin, bearing fruit. It pictures living a righteous life as true disciples, producing positive spiritual increase and gain over what we started with when God first called us. Hopefully we are more mature now spiritually than when God first called us. Hopefully we have grown with His Holy Spirit applying those minas in our lives. Let's continue. Verse 14 now. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. The citizens here were the Jewish leaders who came to hate Christ. Yet in a broader, much broader sense, these citizens can represent the vast majority of humanity. And those who even know of Christ actually reject Him as one to reign over them in their lives. The world does not like to obey God's laws of life. They like to sometimes profess Christ, but obedience is something else. Verse 15, and so it was when he, the nobleman, the Christ, returned having received the kingdom as King of Kings, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how every man had gained by trading, by doing business. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said, the king, and he, the king, said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. I want to stop there because the coming reality of these 10 or 5 cities is the real focus of my message today. Those called out to grow their spiritual minas as faithful servants today, God will assign cities for them to lead and teach in His kingdom. We will be given cities to spread God's righteous ways and to instruct physical humans how to properly live God's law of love. As fully born saints with spiritual, brand new spiritual abilities, we'll have the means and the knowledge to oversee and manage our assigned physical cities. We'll be working to guide and to point our city people to God's holy way. We will be teaching and enforcing righteousness as part of what's prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We will take part in that effort with the cities that are given to us by Christ. And just to make plain, our religious works, our efforts of obedience, of doing good today in this life, using our spiritual minas to do spiritual business, should never be viewed as earning our salvation. To outsiders, that seems the case, but never should we view it that way. From Ephesians chapter 2, Paul wrote, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift to us. Yet we are also His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God expects us to be active in good works. He wants to reward us according to our good works, but those works cannot save us. Those works cannot go and erase and make clean our past sin. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ can forgive sin and make us clean for salvation. In the coming kingdom, there will be major city rebuilding projects. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 4. Isaiah 61, verse 4. They, the physical survivors that are regathered, shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Maybe we as spirit beings will be given special assignments to help manage the rebuilding of cities brought to waste in past chaotic times prior to Christ's return. There will be a need to restore roads and bridges and many other infrastructures needed for physical humans to resume a way of living. You know, the outside Christian world struggles to understand this parable in Luke 19 that we just read, with its reward of authority over cities. They cannot connect the dots of these cities to their concept of salvation in heaven. It draws a blank. Many commentaries seem to skip over the literal truthfulness of actual cities assigned to be governed in the kingdom. They spiritualize away these cities with perhaps the call for Christians to be faithful and productive in using their minds and their religious life, of course, which we should do too. In the world to come, we see glimpses of God's government having structure to restore and rebuild this ravaged earth will take some organization and direction. Of course, all authority will be under Christ and His Father. Jesus spoke of some government structure in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, turn there if you'd like. Verse 27. Matthew 19, 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, to Christ, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" Peter asked, "What is our reward for doing this?" Verse 28, so Jesus said to them, to the 12, "Assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Here we see the apostles' reward of sitting on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. This will be on land where the physical remnant of Israel will be regathered after the return of Christ. If our assigned cities are in Israel, we may well be under one of the apostles, but that's really speculation. All the details aren't given to us in the structure of how Christ and His Father want to establish everything. We don't know exactly those details, although sometimes we would love to know them. Again, some may say, "I don't want to rule a city. I'm tired. I'm stressed out. I can't handle that kind of responsibility." Well, how about teaching others about the great God that we worship. How about educating and lovingly leading others to a more righteous way? Let's remember again that we will have a new spiritual mind and body. We will have spiritual abilities that we don't have today in the flesh. When we're resurrected, we won't be tired and stressed. We will be excited. We will be fully spirit with a new and fresh desire to serve and teach God to others. There's great satisfaction in truly helping and giving to others. Christ said it's more. There's more happiness in giving than in receiving. It will be exciting and fulfilling to be a guiding light to those in total darkness. We may have a direct part to play in comforting the peoples of this world who will have gone through the greatest nightmare of war and tribulation that this world has ever seen. We may be their first guide and teacher to show them a new and peaceful way to restart life, to pick themselves up, and to begin living again in a different way. The temporary life that we have now is for sure not the ultimate. This physical is only a shadow of something much better and more abundant to come. We can't really even grasp what God has in store for us. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let me read that. Here Paul writes, and he's quoting from Isaiah 64. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There are things awaiting us in the kingdom that we can't even imagine yet with our physical brain. We can't even comprehend them now. Only when we become spirit will we see more of that fullness. As I conclude this message, let's let this feast encourage us to be ever faithful and strong and fixated on the hope that lies ahead. If our hearts can stay humble and submissive to Christ, then he can use us and supply us with all the spiritual skills we need to perform whatever job he assigns us in the kingdom. We don't have to worry about that. Until our reward comes, let's continue to do godly business, trading and growing our minds, never hiding our minds or burying them away. Let's continue to do fruitful works to the very, very end. Let's let the vision of God's kingdom dwarf all the stresses and concerns of this present life. Christ speaks to us in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Revelation 22, 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Brethren, let's be excited about the soon coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord.